Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Soprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Soprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. At BSERP Show. Now, let's get into the show.
San Diego, it's time to fire it up. From the beaches to the ballparks, from the gas lamp to North County, no one knows America's finest city like he does.
You can't just punt on a Manny Machado prime use.
He's a fourth-generation San Diegan, born and raised in the heart of this community. Passionate, opinionated, and always bringing you the real talk on your teams, your city, and everything in between.
Brayden totally knows his stuff. He's ready for the next step. That guy is good.
Live and local, it's the Brayden Sir Brennan Show.
But I think Brayden is one of the up-and-coming young stars in the media game in San Diego.
Now, here's your host, Brayden Soprenant.
What's up, San Diego? And a happy Monday morning to everybody out there after a three-day weekend. Hopefully everybody had a fun time over the weekend. Hopefully everybody stayed safe over the 4th of July weekend as we celebrated the United States' 249th birthday last Friday. I was just telling Frank, the whole time last Friday on 4th of July, I totally thought it was a Saturday. I was so messed up time-wise with us doing the morning show and everything like that. It was fun being in the morning show time slot. But that being said, I like the midday. It's a lot better for my sleep schedule, a lot better for a lot of other things that I do in life. But it was fun filling in for the last week or so. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the shows last week if you were in the morning. And if you guys were part of the morning and didn't know we existed, we're here every single day from 10 to 2. Now back in our normal time slot, hopefully for a long period of time now. I don't think we have any more wrinkles coming up, but you never know. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Soprenant. I had a fun 4th of July weekend. Pretty chill, actually. On the 4th of July, it was super chill for me. Went to the Scripps Ranch Parade. We do that every year. I mean, it was okay. The parade's been better in the past, but there was a lot of cool things that rolled through there. A lot of people that we know that were in the parade. So it was fun to be at that, get festive, everything. Went home, kind of rested a little bit during the Yankees-Mets game on TV. Waited for the Padres to get going. Grilled some burgers, some dogs, some hot links. Had a nice 4th of July Friday. Saturday, kind of the same thing. Chilled after doing a workout. And then yesterday, Sunday, I had some friends over for the Padres game. Did the same thing. You gotta do burgers and dogs over the 4th of July weekend. I could have got crazy with some stuff, but decided not to. We did dabble in a little yellowtail sashimi since my dad went fishing last week. So we have a lot of yellowtail ready to go. So I had that as an appetizer yesterday. It was fun. Had a good day watching Padres baseball. The Padres took 2 out of 3 from the Texas Rangers. Had the walk-off on the 4th of July from Jake Cronenworth. Saturday's game obviously didn't go the way the Padres would have liked in terms of pitching. Had a couple of opportunities late in the game and were unable to overcome some of those opportunities or able to execute during some of those opportunities. And then yesterday, there was a lot to unpack with yesterday's game as well. But overall, good 4th of July weekend holiday. A good start for the San Diego Padres on this very long homestand to finish up the first ceremonial first half of the season. Padres will have a four-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks the next 4 days, starting tonight, going into Thursday night, before the Philadelphia Phillies come to town Friday, Saturday, Sunday to finish up the first half, ceremonial first half, for a couple of our boys go to Atlanta. We'll see if anybody else gets added to the All-Star team from the San Diego Padres. Manny Machado will be the starter at third base. Yesterday, it was announced that Fernando Tatis Jr. and Jason Adam got nods to go to the All-Star game. So obviously a nice congratulations to them as well, as the Padres will be represented at the All-Star game with three players, and who knows if anything else is down the path for the Padres players, you know, potentially making the All-Star game. The All-Star game itself, we'll dive into it a little bit later on in the show. And the All-Star break week is usually, you know, interesting for us to talk about because there's not really a lot going on in the sports world aside from the All-Star game and the All-Star break. So next week will be interesting. But, you know, the All-Star game used to be, to me, at least in baseball, and baseball still might have the best game out of the group. But for a long time when they were playing for, as dumb as it sounded, that winning the All-Star game was going to give you home field advantage in the World Series, which, by the way, was just one extra game. You get one game. That's it. I wasn't necessarily opposed to the World Series host site or World Series home field advantage coming from the result of the All-Star game. I didn't think it was that nuts. I think a lot of people did. I understand why. But I tell you what, when that was in effect, you saw some really good baseball and you saw a lot of players playing hard in those games. I don't necessarily know you see that anymore. I think you see it a little bit more in baseball than you do in other sports, All-Star games, but I don't know what you're going to do to try to make the All-Star game with that kind of juice again. It seems to be like a lot of international series and international contests really get people and get these players playing at a very high level for their countries, which is cool to see and it's fun to watch, as we saw with the frozen face-off during the wintertime with hockey. So we'll talk more about the All-Star game coming up. A couple Padres made it. I think there was a couple things that really showed very telling signs about a couple Padres that made it, or should I say at least one Padre that made it compared to one that I think a lot of people thought was going to make the team, but then ultimately didn't. And we'll talk more about that later on in the show as well. I do want to talk about yesterday's game. Padres starting to walk a lot more, which is great offensively. And Kevin Acey kind of hinted at this in his daily newsletter about the offense maybe turning things around a little bit. They had 10 hits yesterday. They're starting to walk more. And there's a couple quotes from Mike Schilt talking about the offense that we're going to get to later on in this hour. But the major difference, and again, I think the difference was for the last couple of months compared to the first month of the year. Overall, the Padres' philosophy has been aggressiveness and being aggressive, whether it be on the base pass or in the counts. They want to be aggressive. When we talked about at the beginning of the year when it was working, you're either for the aggressiveness or you're against it. You can't do it based on what the results are. What is the process like? What process do you want to see? And most people said they liked the aggressiveness. Now the Padres are off to a 14-3 start. So it's a lot easier to say like, oh, we love the aggression. They're scoring more runs. This is great. Well, then you saw the downside of the aggressiveness over the last couple of months. And Mike Schilt talks about that yesterday in yesterday's postgame press conference. And we're going to get to that in our next segment. Exactly what Mike Schilt said. The Padres are living by the philosophy of, and this is not something that they have said, but I've heard other teams use this, if we are going to fail, we're going to fail aggressively. And that's what they've done the last couple of months. Now, I wouldn't say they've been doing that on the base pass, but they've been doing that in the box. They're not working counts as much as they did at the beginning part of the season. They've been chasing pitches. I don't know how many times we've seen Xander Bogaerts chase a pitch low and away out of the zone he's way out in front of. I don't know how many times we've seen Manny Machado do that in a Padres uniform, or Fernando for that matter. And so after the first month of success that the Padres had of being aggressive, they almost started to get too aggressive at the plate, where they started swinging at pitches that they can't do damage on. Part of the approach. But hey, you know what? They want guys swinging. I mean, a big problem, right, with everybody with Juan Soto was like he wasn't out there swinging. Hey, he's not hitting. He's walking too much. I think the Padres should walk a little bit more. And this last week, the nights that they walked a lot, they ended up winning those games. Yesterday, had a decent amount of walks, won the game. Wednesday, in the game one of the doubleheader, in the morning part of the doubleheader, they walked a lot, they won the game. Their offense looked 10 times better. It's not the nature of looking for walks or swinging aggressively. It's the nature of we are not going to swing out of our shoes on pitches that we cannot do damage on. And when we get pitches in the zone, those are the pitches that we have to do damage on. That's the fine line that the Padres have been battling the last couple of months. It's been trying to be aggressive at the plate. Look, you want them swinging. You want the Padres swinging early and often. You want them hunting at the plate. And the Padres did a good job of that in the first month, but the difference was they were doing it at pitches in the zone while spitting on pitches outside of the zone. And I think during the time that the Padres had multiple injuries to their starting offensive lineup, and really multiple injuries to their core six, joined by Kevin Acey, is when they started to try to do a little bit too much and has created the bad habits of swinging out of the zone and swinging at pitches that they can't do damage with. I got to go up here and get a hit. You know, I mentioned before, and I was the only one that was against Manny Machado swinging 3-0 a couple of weeks ago with the bases loaded and had an opportunity with two outs and the guy in front of him walked, and I forget the exact situation, but I was like, you can't be getting out in that situation with a pop-up or whatever it was. And the argument against was, well, he's the one kind of carrying the team right now. You need him to go out there and hit. Yeah, I understand that. But if you start getting away from him and trying to do other people's jobs, that's where you're going to run into a disaster. And I think some of the Padres' problems with their entire lineup is the core six trying to overcompensate for the bottom half of the order not being able to get the job done. And we've talked about the bottom half of the order all the time. And this is why I continue to say, if you upgrade the bottom of the order with just a piece or two, it's going to do wonders for the Padres offensively. Because it takes less pressure off the guys that were brought in and the core six to really carry the team. Even though going into the season, we knew that was kind of the idea that the Padres are going to have, was they were going to rely on the core six doing a lot of damage. And then the next three guys in order just happen to be players on the team. Where you run into problems is when pressure starts to get involved. And the Padres, just like any other team in baseball, don't do well with pressure. The teams that you see, 1-9, that hit through the lineup really good, and they do a really good job, you know, like the Detroit Tigers, they can bring those guys up right now. One of the best teams in the American League. If not the best team in all of baseball. I haven't checked the standings recently where the Tigers are at. As Frank said, it was not my weekend to watch the Detroit Tigers. But I will say, if you look at their lineup, they got 9 contributors. Not all all-stars, but 9 contributors. And it leads to less pressure for the other players in the lineup. It's the same thing with the bottom half of the Dodgers order. The bottom half of the Dodgers order is still not very good. It's better than the Padres, bottom three guys. But they always do well because they don't have the pressure of having to carry the Dodgers. They know they got the sluggers in front of them. They got arguably one of the best three in baseball to line up out of the gate. That goes a long way. And so with some of these added pressures that the Padres put upon themselves and with the fact that they haven't done damage swinging at pitches out of the zone, because you can't do damage with those pitches, it's led to a little bit of an offensive issue. But I will say, in this last week, even though the Padres have only scored 11 runs this weekend against the Rangers, I think there's reason to be optimistic with their approach at the plate. I thought they were a lot more disciplined at the plate over the weekend against the Rangers. I think that leads to a lot more success for the Padres offensively. And let's see how they continue against Arizona. They got to try to stick with this, you know, again, being aggressive, but doing it pitches in the zone that you can do damage on. That's been kind of the battle the last couple months, and you're starting to see them be a little bit more patient at the plate while still being aggressive early and often in the at-bats. There's a difference between being aggressive and being reckless. Being reckless is swinging at pitches that you can't hit for slug. Being aggressive is, I'm jumping on the first fastball I see in the heart of the plate. And I think you're starting to see that more. We just got underway. He's Frank Marchese. I'm Brayden Suprenant. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that offense and hear what Mike Schilt had to say. Again, I'm telling you, it's a reason to be optimistic about where this Padres team is going if they can continue to do what they did over the weekend this week against Arizona. If you want to join the show today, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Brayden Suprenant Show just getting underway on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off and roll on a Monday morning, coming off a three-day weekend. I'm sure that alarm hit a little bit different today than it normally does.
Actually didn't get to the alarm today.
You beat the alarm?
I was so wiped out yesterday. Like, I was fighting to stay awake during the end of the game last night. The second the file out was recorded, I didn't even wait for a rise to make the catch. TV off, rolled over, right to sleep.
Out.
At 9 o'clock last night. And because of that, I woke up at like 6:15 this morning. Good 9-hour night.
I was up at like 5-something just because, you know, football practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I still had to be somewhere at 6. It was just a further drive to Carmel Valley than it was to Sara Mesa this morning. And the other thing, too, it's like it wasn't a typical Sunday night game last night because it was the second half of a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God they put the game on ESPN2 to get things started.
Yes.
Because the Cardinals and Cubs, like 3 o'clock, I flipped the game on. And it was like Cardinals-Cubs, and it was like Jeff Passan talking. I'm like, oh, that can only be one thing. There's rain, stuff that we don't have to deal with. It was a beautiful weekend this weekend, by the way.
It was.
What a great weekend. What did you do for the 4th? I already talked about what I did for the 4th. What was your 4th of July weekend?
4th of July, we just kind of stayed home and relaxed. Didn't do much, but I ended up going to Balboa Park on Saturday.
What?
Just kind of relaxed.
Wow.
And, went to a couple of the museums were there.
Natural History Museum?
I did go to the Nat. Yes, I did.
Did you get a taco?
You're going to have to find out at noon, aren't you?
That's right. Might end the bit for real.
Should I give a hint?
No.
Okay. Fair
enough. Called a tease. Go Aztecs. Kraft Taco at Balboa? Hey, maybe. Maybe.
You have to stick around till noon.
I was expecting Frank to put on his social media with a mind question mark. Mind? Anybody? I got so many of those this week posting food from like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Any type of food post. I didn't even have to put it on my Instagram. I immediately went, mind? Anybody? Like four or five people did it. One, Tyler, who is in our chat sometimes, he sent the mind as the DM. And I go, like, dude, you're like the fourth person. He's like, dang it. I thought I was going to be the first one. I thought
no,
I was on to something.
It's catching on. It is definitely catching on.
Oh, man. What did you guys eat on Friday? Did you guys cook anything?
We did. Hot dogs, hamburgers as natural. My dad likes to make sausage bread. So basically, it's
sausage bread.
It's a sheet of dough. You put like crumbled up sausage, mozzarella on it,
and then you roll it.
You roll it into a bread. He'll also do just like a pepperoni bread.
Okay.
We had had sauce the night before or two nights before, and I suggested we have leftover meatballs from sauce. Why don't you just throw that in there? Kind of just make a Stromboli.
Yeah, love Stromboli.
I'm on the phone. My dad comes running upstairs. Saying, that was such a good bleeping idea. It tastes so good. Thank you for that. I'm like, all right, cool. So I know what my dinner is this evening. And we had baked clams as well, which were really, really good. My mom's baked clam recipe is to die for.
What an Italian feast for the 4th of July.
Yes.
It's great. With the burgers and the dogs.
Absolutely.
Mixed in some hot links this time. I like a good hot link.
There were brats in the fridge that unfortunately never made it out because we were so full from munching on stuff all day.
Yesterday, I had some buddies over for the game. Like I mentioned, we cooked, you know, we had all this food. And somebody, one of our listeners in the YouTube chat DMs me. He's like, is this all of your meal prep for the week? Are you cooking for an army? And I was like, nah, man. This is just, I had some friends over, burgers, dogs. We had a little bit of every little sample, everything. Made my homemade wings, smoked wings too. A little buffalo sauce on one. I did some naked wings, some buffalo wings, and some homemade barbecue sauce wings.
Okay. Not bad.
Fire. Just ate like the whole afternoon. So that being said, there's only so many of those things I can have this week as leftovers because of trying not to eat like that. Like this weekend, every single day. I already feel like bloated. With all the salt I've consumed, so hopefully I can flush out with some water and get back to some meal prep stuff. It's the funny thing, you know, Eric Hosmer's on Cameo now.
Yes, he is.
As my friends noticed, and you noticed very quickly that he's on Cameo. One of my friends pulled the trigger on a Hosmer Cameo immediately for one of our other friends.
Okay.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It was so funny.
We're going to be honest here. We're debating on pulling the trigger on a Hosmer Cameo for a show promo, honestly. Would you guys enjoy an Eric Hosmer show promo?
I think it'd be funny.
It'd be amazing.
Some people might get triggered by it because they just don't like Eric Hosmer. But
that's the point.
One of the deals was because my buddy played at Irvine, was like, he's always a big UCI fan. Eric Hosmer's like, oh, I heard you're a big UCI fan. I don't know what the bleep UCI is, but go UCI, roll tide. And then he moved on. If it was clean for air, I'd air it. It was just the funniest thing. He's doing it for like $50. He's got to be getting inundated with cameos. $50, dude? Like, are you kidding me? Come on. That's, you know what? Padres fans should get it for free, the $12 million that the team's already spending on them. They should have it back in some cameos, get some cameos out of it.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get some money back on cameos.
You've already upset so many people in the YouTube chat.
Good.
On potentially having Eric. You know what? If they foul out, one of our commercial breaks for YouTube needs to be a Eric Hosmer cameo. That's where you get them. You start getting cameos of the people they don't like and throw it on the YouTube breaks.
Chat, we are going to be on the whistle today. We're not letting the guys play today.
No.
We're not letting the guys play. Tight. We want this to happen. We are getting an Eric Hosmer promo.
Oh, my God. People would just be like, I can't do this. I'd rather listen to the generic music that we have to play over the YouTube stream.
Hey, you guys don't foul out. You don't have anything to worry about.
You know what? That's a good call right there. Because we can't give them the AT&T commercial because YouTube flags it sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
We have to be discreet about that. But you know what they're not going to flag? Eric Hosmer cameo. They're not flagging that. I'll tell you that much. 833-288-0973. I want to mention, tune in to the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt this Friday at 9 a.m. on Bennett Woods. Manager's Report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. When we come back, we are going to hear from Mike Schilt. And there's something specifically that he said yesterday about the offense that I think is not a cause for concern, but a cause for maybe a sigh of relief. Maybe it's a sign that the offense is flipping it back around to where it was in April. There's a couple things that he said that I think are very important on that case. And a little bit later on in the show, we are going to talk about the Padres pitching staff who came through yet again. And to start the 11 o'clock hour, Jordan Spurgeon, reporter for Sports360AZ.com, will join us to give us a preview on the Arizona Diamondbacks and this series this week. We're going to get to all of that as we get through the next couple of segments coming up on the Breaks and Predators Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97 through the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Brayton Cipredit Show. Live and local every single day from 10 to 2. Back to our normal time slot, which we love. Love being with all our midday friends here on the Midday Show. Had a great time filling in for Bennett Woods last week. Great time. Let's talk about the offense. I mentioned in my opening segment about some things that happened this weekend that kind of lead to why you should be more confident in the offense turning around in the future. Now, they have to be consistent of what they've done, what they did over the weekend. Consistent in their at-bats, consistent at not swinging at pitches out of the zone, consistent at, you know, doing damage on balls that are thrown into the zone and pitches that miss. You got to be able to hit mistakes if you're a good offense. The runners in scoring position, the hits with runners in scoring position will come if you stick to that philosophy, but you can't like put too much pressure on yourself knowing that, oh, we're not very good at this. We need to get a hit right here. That doesn't work for anybody. Just like all of you going around, the closest thing that you can relate it to is when you go golfing and you start having the idea creep into your mind before you swing, man, I really got to have a good shot on this. When does that ever work out for you? That never works out for you. It's very rarely do you tee up and think about your swing as you're swinging and have it work out for you. So a couple of things that Mike Schilt said I thought were important. Let's talk about, or let's play what Mike Schilt said. There's two. One's going to be on what he's seen in the offense recently. Here's Mike Schilt yesterday.
More consistency of quality of bats. Some days don't have anything to show for it, but, man, I loved our bats. You know, we played really good, a lot of really good baseball. We pitched really well. We played defense. And that was well played all phases. You know, we continue, which I'm confident we will, to do that offensively, take those at-bats. 1 through 9 contributions, obviously, Toddy, Louie, Bogey, Crony, Maldy with big knocks, but just tough at-bats throughout, just relentless. It's good to see, you know, Leiter up there and pitches early in the game and just grinding them out and just using the whole field. And, you know, we do that. We're going to go on a little tear for a while.
Now, you have to factor out and filter out the over-positiveness of Mike Schilt, especially with defenses guys. But at the same time, he's right on a lot of this stuff. We continue to be stubborn. We're going to be an aggressive team. We're not looking to be not aggressive, passive kind of club, but we've got to be more stingy about what we're swinging at. It's 100% true. 100% true. The difference of being aggressive and being reckless. We've talked about it from a base running perspective, but from an offensive perspective in terms of swinging the bat, if you're letting 95 go right down the middle early in a count, that's not being aggressive. That's being, you know, more passive at the plate, which is fine. That's a way to do things, but they want to be aggressive, right? Swinging at that would be aggressive. Getting a pitch, first pitch, not in the zone, that's outside the zone, that's not a pitch I could do damage on, that's being reckless. And there's a major difference. And sometimes when pressure plays a factor, all of a sudden, you start getting away from what got you to this point, and you start trying to do too much, and now you're trying to be aggressive on pitches that you know you should not be aggressive with. You get the slug by squaring up pitches in the zone. That's how you slug. It's not squaring up pitches like outside the zone. There's a reason why they're not strikes. You can't really do a lot of damage with those pitches. Can guys get around on balls like that inside, you know, a little bit inside and a little bit low to a left-hander that's not in the zone? Yeah, sure. I mean, every once in a while you could turn on it. We've seen Fernando hit home runs on pitches that shouldn't even be touched, relatively. So it can happen, but you don't want to rely on that at all. You want to hit mistakes. You want to hit fastballs that leak over the heart of the plate. That's where you drive the slug. But when you're overly aggressive to the point of reckless and you're swinging at pitches outside the zone, yeah, we're hunting early, but you're not hunting on the right pitch. I thought the at-bats yesterday were great. Being patient, passing the baton, working walks. This is a team that doesn't work a lot of walks. Since Victor Rodriguez took over, they haven't worked a lot of walks. But in the last week, in two games that have stood out, yesterday's game and Wednesday's game one of the doubleheader, Padres walked a lot. And they were patient at the dish. You could be aggressively patient. What I mean by that is spitting on pitches outside of the zone, swinging at pitches inside the zone. It's easy as that sounds. And now here's the other thing. There are a lot of really good pitchers out there that make that are going to beat you. I mean, there's some nasty S getting thrown in this day and age of baseball where it looks like it's going to be a pitch in the zone and it leaks away and all of a sudden you have issues. That's where you do run into a relatively slump when you are an aggressive team. That's what hurts aggressive teams. Kind of good pitching. But you know what? Sometimes that's a situation where you'd have to tip your cap. You just don't want to hear it all the time from Mike Schilt. So from that perspective, I think the Padres have improved. I think they're starting to look more like the Padres we saw offensively at the beginning part of the season rather than the last couple of months dating back to the mid-May, or really early May. Padres are 4-for-8 with runners in scoring position but left 10 on base over the weekend. 9-for-26 with runners in scoring position in the entire series. You're starting to get some players back, right? Fernando's starting to hit a little bit better, which is nice to see. He's obviously been going through the last 2 months of just, it's just not been great for him offensively. He's been good stealing bags and playing defense, though. He's the best right fielder in outs above replacement. He's done a phenomenal job in the outfield. He had a misplay on a ball over the weekend against the Rangers. Yes, I think it was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Even yesterday, or maybe 2 days ago. Saturday night. This was Saturday night, where he ran across and ball flew at his head, whatever it was. But that's what they, that's the, you're getting good production out of him in other areas. And you've seen that from all the players that have struggled at the dish. They have helped the Padres in multiple ways. Like the catching situation, which we'll talk about later on the show. The other clip I want to play, and it kind of features on Jackson Merrill, and I think Jackson Merrill's in a funk right now. He just looks so lost at the plate. I don't know what it's going to take for him to come out of it. But he looks lost. Completely lost. I haven't seen Merrill look this bad ever in a Padres uniform. He even got a knock the other night on Saturday night. That was in a clutch situation, but he does not look like the player that he was or has been in a Padres uniform. And as bad as he's looked the last couple of months, his average is still really high. I mean, his offensive numbers are still pretty good. I mean, just think about how good of a start he was. And it's kind of funny, the two players that we mentioned that were off to great starts, we talked about them potentially being offense, like, you know, MVP type candidates. They both have just had some rough mental months in the month of May and the month of June. But he looks completely lost at the plate. That's something, again, that he has to figure himself out. He's got to figure it out on his own. So it could be a couple of things. I don't think it's really a sophomore slump yet. I think if he continues to do this for the rest of July, you might be considering maybe a sophomore slump. I do think it's been a little bit of the adjustment that Major League Baseball has made back on Jackson Merrill. It's how it happens all the time. Guy comes up. Teams will throw fastballs at him, see what he's got. Jackson Merrill crushed fastballs last year as he made the adjustments of the big leagues off to a great start to his career. This year might be getting a little bit more of the adjustment back as teams get prepared with Jackson Merrill. Now, obviously, him being a threat, being signed under contract for a long time, everything like that. But he looks a little lost. It happens. It happens to the best players. I mean, this might be one of the first kind of slumps that you see in Jackson Merrill's career. This might be one of the first times Jackson's ever had relatively a slump. And I didn't really religiously watch him play in the minor leagues, but he wasn't in the minor leagues very long. And he was drafted out of high school. There's no way he had any type of slump in high school. I mean, the guys that are playing in the big leagues didn't struggle in high school. So this could be the big, this could be the first time that Jackson Merrill's really struggled offensively in this sport. And sometimes, I mean, that's the adjustment period back that you have to make if you're an elite player, in which I think he is. And so it'll be interesting to see these next couple of weeks if he can make that adjustment or if he needs the week off at the All-Star break. But he doesn't have that. He feels like he lost his swag a little bit at the plate. He's not playing like he did all through last year and the beginning of this season, or he's putting, you know, talked about exuding pressure and not, you know, not feeling the pressure. He looks like he's feeling the pressure right now. And he doesn't even have that much on him right now. But he looks lost. And that's something that he needs to be able to fix on his own. I don't think there's anything mechanical going on. It looks like he's just in a little bit of a funk, and you're going to see that throughout the year. What does Mike Shildt have to say about Jackson Merrill's recent struggles? Here's what Mike had to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the league has made adjustments. I think the league made adjustments last year. Jackson made counter adjustments. Fully confident in Jackson being able to do that. You know, they're pitching him really tough. They're hitting a lot of their spots. Just got to be able to, like we talk about with the total group, just make sure. Easier said than done, but get back to just being disciplined balls he can handle. I like the pass that he had. You know, almost got the ball into right center, could open the game up, and it was in an area that he likes to, you know, put good swings on. So just doing that as much, and, you know, Jackson will be just fine.
I agree with Mike. I didn't even hear that clip yet. But that's the game of baseball. Guys come up, do really well. League makes an adjustment on them. Can you adjust back? And it goes back and forth. And the elite players can continually make adjustments when the league figures out how to stop you. You've seen that with the elite players that the Padres have, right? Those guys that have the big-time contracts. The Manny Machados of the world. Fernando Tatis Jr.'s of the world. So now it's Jackson Merrill's turn again to make the adjustment back to Major League Baseball, who have found a different way to attack him. He's chasing a lot of pitches out of the zone right now, and again, trying to do too much doesn't lead to a lot of offensive success. I want to talk a little bit about the pitching staff now. Pitching staff came through again over the weekend and last night. Bullpen yesterday was clutch. And I think, and Frank tweeted it out yesterday as it happened in the first inning, Jake Cronenworth's diving play was a game-saving play. Because in yesterday's game with David Morgan getting his first ever start as an opener, things weren't really going too great for David Morgan out there. I mean, yeah, the bases loaded and less than 2 outs, and the Rangers only got 1 run out of the first inning. So gritty job by David Morgan to get out of that first inning. Jake Cronenworth kind of helped him out with a diving catch at second base. That ball gets through, and who knows? It might be 3-0. Even 4-0 at the end of the top half of the first inning, and now you're playing catch-up again, something that the Padres' offense in recent time has not done well with. Jake lays out, makes a game-saving play early in the first inning. And then how about the return of Kyle Hart, huh? 11 up, 11 down? Are you kidding me? That'll play. He looked nasty last night. I don't know what you do with Kyle Hart in the long term, but he looked great. He looked confident. He used his time in AAA El Paso to obviously work on some things that they told him to work on. We knew he was going to get another opportunity. Whether or not he starts another game for the Padres, I think remains to be seen. But out of the bullpen, he did a phenomenal job. And maybe Kyle Hart is that long relief guy for the second half of the season. Left-handed pitcher has one elite pitch. Kind of like Matt Waldron, who's a right-handed pitcher, has one elite pitch. The difference is, and this is why Matt Waldron can't be a bullpen guy. Because the elite pitch that Waldron has, if it doesn't work, if he doesn't have it, doesn't have the knuckleball, he's not getting anybody out. Which is kind of the same for Kyle Hart, but here's the difference. When the knuckleball isn't working, the ball's flying all over the place. And it goes to the backstop and wild pitch, and it's impossible to catch anyway. Even when the knuckleball is working really well, it's very difficult to catch. That's someone you can't have coming out of the bullpen. Now, Kyle Hart, on the other hand, if the sweeper works, one, Kyle Hart's going to mow people down. At the same time, it's not going to get away from the catchers too many times. Same thing with if the sweeper's not working. At least it's not going to go to the backstop. Left-handed, long relief guy in Kyle Hart? I don't mind that for the second half. I sent down Stephen Kolek. He's going to go down there and get some rest. I mean, he has pitched now the most he has ever pitched in his career in terms of innings. But I think, honestly, the pitching staff, before we dive into what Mike Schilt said about yesterday with the bullpen in particular, I think the starting staff, what they've been asked to do to make up for a Michael King injury, which, by the way, Kevin Acey has reported that don't expect to see him until August. But with him missing time, and with Yu Darvish missing time, who will pitch tonight? It'll be good to see you back on the mound. He's going to have 75 pitches to work with tonight. And Dylan Cease having the worst season of his career. They have asked Kyle Hart and Stephen Kolek and Randy Vasquez and Burgert and who else? You know, David Morgan, I guess, is an opener. They have asked all of these individuals to go out there and compete at a high level for a team that's competing for a playoff spot and a potential World Series. They've done a phenomenal job for who they are as players and what they've been asked to do. think Randy Vasquez did a great job in the first half of the season. I think Kolek has done a great job. He's responsible for a couple of shutouts. I know it's against the Colorado Rockies, one of them, but shutting out the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field is still not an easy task despite how bad the Rockies might be offensively. A shutout at Coors Field is pretty nuts. Burgert's been phenomenal, and he's expected to come back probably sometime this weekend against the Phillies. So overall, I mean, the pitching staff has been great, and we haven't even talked about the bullpen yet, who's been outstanding. Kyle Hart was one of those pitchers out of the bullpen yesterday, and here's what Mike Schilt said on possibly letting Kyle Hart pitch longer in the game.
It's a one-run game at that point. You know, it'd be more of a consideration if we had had to use those guys and some of those guys weren't available. But it did fall into the category of availability for the four horsemen in the back. And it also fell into that, hey, man, this guy's done his job, you know, and tip your hat and move on to the guys to be able to bring it home. And they were able to do it. But Hart was great for us tonight.
Hart was great. He was great last night. He looked almost unhittable. Yu Darvish pitches today, and we'll talk about what the projected rotation might be for the finish, or should I say the final week of the ceremonial first half. But here's Mike Schilt on what it means for Yu Darvish to start today against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
It's got a couple ramifications. You know, we were able to, you know, start the season, and we knew, you know, he wasn't going to be with us, and we knew Joe wasn't going to be with us, and you know, so Nikki and Michael and Dylan and, you know, obviously Vasquez and Kolek have stepped up. And then Michael goes down and, you know, so guys have, you know, pieced this thing together, did it today a little bit. But, you know, Yu Darvish is, you know, a big part of our organization, not only the every fifth day, but just the presence of the veteran leadership and the confidence that we have in him. He's a, you know, we talk about anchors with Manny more recently. You know, Joe's an anchor, still doing his part without being able to perform on the field. But, you know, Darvish is right up there as a big anchor for us as well, pitching big games for us and a big part of the club. So him being able to get back not only is a boost to the starting rotation, but just a boost to the, you know, experience that is the, you know, a lot of what we are able to do successfully as a Padres.
It's a major boost to the starting rotation. And here's again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. As long as Yu Darvish is on the team, I don't want to hear any phone calls or complaining about Yu Darvish not playing all the time. I don't really care. He's 38 years old. You need him when you need him in the later months of the season. That's when you need him. So if he misses the beginning part, I don't really care. He's back now. Let's see what he's got. If he goes out there and gets shelled, you might have a little bit of a problem on your hands. He's got 75 pitches today. Sounds like he's going to cap him at 75 pitches. And you're going to have Darvish today, you're going to have Pivetta tomorrow, Cease on Wednesday. Vasquez has been announced as a starter on Thursday, which lines up a potential Burger, Darvish, Pivetta Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, here's the other thing. With a couple of potential pitchers in the National League not going to the All-Star game or sitting out or not being able to pitch, it'll be interesting to see if they pick Pivetta to be in the All-Star game, which who knows if that changes the plans for Sunday. But as penciled out, Darvish, Pivetta, Cease, Vasquez against Arizona, Burgert, Darvish, and Pivetta against Philadelphia, Kyle Hart as a lefty could be used potentially as a starter over the weekend against Philly against a very lefty-friendly lineup. Very lefty-heavy lineup for the Philadelphia Phillies. So, it'll be interesting to see over the weekend. I'm excited to see Yu Darvish back. But veteran leadership is a big thing. People don't want to poo-poo that and all that stuff. I'm telling you. If you've been part of teams before, and you've been part of, as a player, coach, whatever it may be, if you don't have leadership from your players, your team's going nowhere. Hour number two when we come back. Preview of the series against the Diamondbacks of Jordan Spurgeon. Braden Suprenant Show. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Braden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.